Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's a little nippy out there. But I got good news, and the good news is we're going to play Right and Right Trivia. And the better news is, if you win or play honorably, that's all we ask for here. We ask for some integrity. If you win and play with integrity, or play with integrity, either or, like, that's not enough in a football game, Jeffrey. You know, that's not enough in a basketball game. It's not enough in a like playing with integrity. It's great. It's what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a WNL business. This is not actually. This is we're trying to reinforce
character.
Living the right way in character on this radio show. And so if you play honorably, what are we giving the people?
Jeff, we got a fabulous double prize. You will get two tickets to go see Justin Timberlake on Saturday. It's the Forget Tomorrow World Tour, Saturday night at FedEx Forum. You'll also get two tickets to the 901 Wrestling Show on Sunday. It's the final show of 2024. They'll be back in January at Minglewood.
So we will do that in the second hour. We'll also talk to Chris Harrington in the second hour. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies and their victory last night as they triumph over the 76ers, 117-111. And Taylor Jenkins with his victory, 215th win as the Grizzlies coach, becomes the all-time winningest coach in Grizzlies history. More on that in a moment, but let's just celebrate the occasion, Jeffrey. Let's wash away the bitter taste of the previous loss to Denver without Jokic, and let's celebrate beating the Sixers with Embiid with some highlights. We're just going to run some highlights consecutively, and as ever, I expect people to be alert and to look for trends, and I want to see if they could detect a theme in these highlights. Here is Eric and the Grizz.
Wells with Embiid in front of him, backs it out. Double team comes. Wells drives, feeds to Jackson, right corner. Open look at a three, ring it up, put three on the board.
Good spacing that time, and good patience as well. They could have tried to force something, but Wells did a good job of just staying patient on the baseline.
Aldama gets by his defender, feeds left corner Wells, open look at a three, got it, ring it up, put three on the board.
He just plays basketball, good spacing that time. Aldama getting in the lane, sucking the defense in from the corner. Wells knocking down another shot.
Got 7 seconds to run a play. He hasn't been out there yet. Bain, a deep three. Ring it up. Put three on the board with 2.3 seconds left. Desmond Bain gets one to go. Grizzlies get it off the turnover. Cam Spencer finds Luke Kennard. Ring it up. Put three on the board from the left corner, and Cam Spencer has his first NBA assist. Kennard is second three of the half. Huff pump fakes a three. Back to Kennard. Straightaway triple. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Luke Kennard is getting into that groove. That's three of them. He's made his last three after missing his first. And there is the Luke Kennard that has lit this building up and brought the fans to their feet multiple nights with the way he can shoot the ball. Huff pump fakes a three. Back to Kennard. Straightaway triple. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Luke Kennard is getting into that groove. That's three of them. He's made his last three after missing his first. And there is the Luke Kennard that has lit this building up.
We just played that.
Fans to their
feet
multiple nights with the way he can shoot the ball. Now Laravia pokes it away from McCain and gets it right back for the Grizz. Laravia to Pippen. Pippen will launch a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Scotty Pippen's first triple of the night.
Yeah, great defense that time. Good job by Laravia. Then a controlled break that time. Eric got the ball to the open guy at the top. Scotty Pippen knocked down the three.
Bain, if he looks, has Jackson on the trail instead. Fires the three and hits. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Desmond Bain. He's got two of them on five tries. Grizzlies lead by five, 48-43.
I like his aggression. I mean, really being aggressive tonight, so you want to see him be assertive.
Wells into the front court. Top of the arc, Aldama. Left wing, Jaren Jackson. Open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Good ball movement by the Grizz.
Yeah, great spacing. They're doing a good job. Again, when they have good spacing, Eric, getting wide open looks. They've got a ton of wide open looks tonight.
Kiss for Aldama. Aldama against that zone. Finds Bain. Floats to the sideline. Three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Bain just kept kind of trailing. Floated to the sideline. Great feed from Aldama.
Yeah, and just great penetration, but Bain did a good job sliding Eric to the open space.
Bain working on Caleb Martin. Step back left wing three. He's got it going. Ring it up. Put three on the board, and Desmond Bain has found the rhythm here tonight. He's been searching for it. 16 in the first half for the Grizzlies sharpshooter out of TCU. Kennard, left side of the lane, pump fakes, kicks it out, Pippen, right sideline three, ring it up, put three on the board. Scotty Pippen Jr. with his second triple, he's got eight. Kennard drives, right side feed for Aldama, three on the way, ring it up, put three on the board. Embiid got his free throws, but Aldama answers with a three from the sideline. He's got nine, and the Grizzlies lead by 12, their largest lead of the ballgame. Feeds for a cutting Luke Kennard. Double team comes. Cut off. Kicks it out. Aldama, a wide open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Santi Aldama has 12. He's got 40 in the last two nights. 28 last night, 12 tonight. We still got a quarter and 2 minutes to go.
Hi, Jeffrey. You're a discerning fellow. Were you able to discern a theme in those highlights?
Jeff, I would like to answer this question. I believe the theme is a lot of made threes.
A lot of made threes. All made threes. So many made threes. 19 made threes by the Grizzlies. 19 of 43. Shot 44.2% from three. Better than they shot overall against Denver in the second one of those tilts this year. Let's see. Among the players who made threes, Jaren, 2 of 5. Wells, 2 of 4. Desmond Bain, thank God, knew it would happen. Glad it happened last night. 5 of 11. Scottie Pippen Jr., 2 of 4. Santi, 2 of 3. Jake, 1 of 1. Huff, 2 of 6. Kennard, 3 of 5. And so that gets you to 19 threes. We do believe in versatility. We do believe in, we like threes. And we like dunks. So just to change it up, here's some Huff stuff.
Huff drives. Nobody stops him in a two-handed jam for Jay Huff. Rocks the rim. Right down Beale Street.
All that happens when you have good spacing, Eric. You have your center able to pump fake because you have to respect his ability to shoot the three-point shot, put the basketball on the fourth, finish at the rim.
And let's wind it up with a couple more
straightaway
threes.
Straight away three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jay Huff has eight. Oh, my. The Grizzly bench at it again tonight. Quarter has not scored in the second half. Bain step back three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Ask and ye shall receive. A Desmond Bain three gives the Grizzlies their largest lead of the night.
Grizz win. 117 to 111. All of that helped build a 19-point lead, and we're not going to talk about what happened after that.
Yeah, no, a win.
It was a win. What happened after that was a win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened after that. Got a little bit stunningly dicey there at the end. Didn't expect it. Honestly, I was shocked that they kept Embiid in the game. I thought, you know, up 19 with 5 minutes left.
Somewhere around there.
Let the poor guy sit out. He's hobbling out there. He's hobbling. 35 minutes, 35 points in 35 minutes in a game where Paul George had already left, re-injured his knee. Tyrese Maxey, obviously, on a hard minute cap. Grizzlies aren't apparently the only team that does that. And so the Grizz win, the Grizz win, the Grizz win. The best thing that happened. Well, the win was huge. Good to get the win. To see, I mean, this goes to your point the other day. You look good when you shoot well, right? Like, and they shot well. I do think that mindset can have something to do with shooting well. But it was particularly good to see Desmond Bain find his stroke again. Luke Kennard find his stroke again. It was a weird game because Grizzlies were outscored in the paint 50-38. Like, you heard Elliott talking about the threes that they were getting. They were getting a lot of wide open threes, and the Sixers were giving them nothing in the paint. And so they were penetrating, kicking it out. Sometimes, you know, another pass, and all of a sudden you got a wide open three. There were a lot of wide open threes in those threes that we just played. But the Grizzlies knocked them down. The Grizzlies win. The Grizzlies win. The Grizzlies win. Jaren with 25. Santi, 12 and 6. Jake continues to fill up the box score. You do wonder if they're going to regret not picking up that year for Jake. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He is a gritty player. Luke with 12. Grizzlies played well. Again, it was Embiid with 35. Jared McCain, by the way.
Yeah, your guy.
Guy I liked. He has yet to miss a free throw this year, Dookie. He had 20 last night. It is a sixth straight game of 20 or more points. I'll say this. The Sixers very clearly desperately wanted to win that game. That's why they played Embiid 35 minutes. But they're a mess.
Yes. I mean, and then Paul George gets hurt again.
And you're if you think, and we are tempted to, and indeed I heard you talking to Kevin yesterday about the Grizzlies' stats. The Grizzlies actually do get injured more than anybody else.
Yes.
Like last year they were injured more than anybody else. Almost like double or
yes.
like and then the
29th team.
Like, the previous year they were high in injuries too. But the Grizzlies are not the only fan base to which this happens. Look at Oklahoma City right now and look at Philadelphia last night. Can you imagine that? You go spend the money to bring in Paul George. He's hurt. He comes back. And he goes out again immediately. It's a little bit like Vince going out again immediately,
sure.
Except for it's Paul George.
Yeah. It was your big offseason acquisition.
It's like going out again. It's like when the Grizzlies got Ja back last year and he plays and all of a sudden he's out again. So that is a mess. And then we had Cam Spencer. Cam Spencer made his Grizzlies debut. I was surprised to see that. 9 minutes, 2 assists, a rebound, missed his only shot. Had one pretty bad turnover where he tried to force a pass in there that led to a three. He's a rookie. It's kind of amazing. A mid to late second round draft pick is getting minutes for your Grizz. But there you go. The Grizzlies get the win. Taylor Jenkins becomes the all-time winningest coach. And I do think we've been on a roll with the polls, Jeffrey, right? Haven't we?
Absolutely.
The Jeff Calkins Show polls. We've had a bunch lately. But doesn't this just beg for a Jeff Calkins Show poll?
Let's do it.
Who is the greatest coach in Grizz history? We'll do them chronologically. Now, we're going to leave a candidate out here. One, Hubie Brown. And then the question is, do you want to include Fratello or Jaeger? Because it's obviously Taylor and Lionel will be included, right? You only get to include one more. I'll tell you who has more wins.
So my vote would be for Jaeger because he won a playoff series.
Okay.
Or won a playoff game.
It is funny, though. Fratello is the forgotten dude You know,
for sure.
Fratello is the forgotten dude. And the truth of the matter is, they have exactly the same number of wins. Regular season wins. They have the exactly same of regular season wins. But I think we got to go Jaeger. I'm with you. So it will go Hubie Brown.
By the way, it was announced that this will be his final year of broadcasting as well. So congrats on an unbelievable career to Hubie Brown.
Two, Lionel Hollins. Lionel's going to win this running away.
I think so.
Three, Dave Jaeger. And four, Taylor Jenkins. I'll be interested. It's too bad we don't do a ranked choice voting here on the poll, because what I'm really interested in is who is the second best coach in Grizzlies history. You know what I mean? Like
yeah. No, you want to see
I think Lionel's going to win.
It's
who
what,
is second?
Like when you do the core four rankings, you think Mike Conley ends up higher. Like maybe he gets the fewest first place votes, but he's going to be the
highest. Yeah, and if people really, and it's really not how many people are willing to vote for like Jaeger first, for example. I think that's an irrational vote, but I don't think it's irrational to have Jaeger say ahead of Taylor Jenkins, if you want,
sure.
Like, whatever. I don't think that's irrational. So I'm more interested in that ordering, but I think we have to, we don't have this, our polling is, let's be honest, polling's become suspect anyway in this world, and so you're going to have to take our poll with a grain of salt, but that is the, how's it currently?
So I'm having to remember how to spell.
Which one?
Jaeger.
J-O-E-R-G-E-R, I think. J-O-E-R-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Jaeger. Dave. Okay. J-O-E-R-G-E-R. Yeah, J-O-E-R-G-E-R. There you go. Who is the greatest coach in Grizzlies history? One, Hubie Brown. Two, Lionel Hollins. Three, Dave Jaeger. Four, Taylor Jenkins.
Yep, you ready?
I'm ready. Who's going to win the poll?
I think you're right. I think Lionel.
Lionel's going to run away with it. Who's going to be second?
I'm going to go...
Hubie's going to be second.
Yeah, the problem, though, is Twitter's going to skew younger, and there's a lot of people that don't remember it.
No, Hubie's legendary.
I hope.
People don't remember George Washington either, but they rank him number one, or Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't around for it, but we've heard the tales.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the stories. So I don't think anyone seriously... come close to. We haven't renamed the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial, and I haven't even felt like there's been a substantial threat. Anyway, Lionel's going to win. I think Hubie's going to be two.
Okay,
let me give you for the informed voter, for voters who want to be informed. Let me give you some stats. Okay, so regular season wins. Guess who has the most regular season wins?
That would now be Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins. Taylor has 206. Lionel has 196. Jaeger and Fratello.
I should have Taylor with 215.
215's overall. 215's everything.
I have regular season.
I think 215 is everything. Isn't 215 everything?
So I'm on Basketball Reference, so.
Then does he have additional playoff wins?
Correct. But your math adds up. If you said 206 and then he has 9 playoff wins, that's 215. But the column is sorted as regular season. But
Is there a separate playoff category in your column?
Correct.
Though? Does it have any there?
9. So that's why I'm thinking your number's correct.
I think it's 215 and 206. Because they didn't qualify the 215 is the winningest in regular season history. They called him the winningest coach in Grizzlies history.
I'm yielding to you. I trust your research.
How about this win percentage? Let me give you their playoff records.
Dave has the best win percentage, if I recall.
That's exactly right. So playoff wins, you've got Lionel is 17-18. And then you've got Taylor is 9-14, and Jaeger is 9-13. And Fizdale is 2-4. In playoff wins, Lionel is the only one who's close to 500. He's 17-18.
Yeah, I don't trust it. This thing says he's 18-17, so I'm with you. I think your numbers are better.
And Taylor and Jaeger have the same number of playoff wins. I don't think you would have known that. And Taylor has more playoff losses. Win percentage, you're exactly right. Jaeger has the highest win percentage, 598. Lionel at 558. Fratello at 534, Jenkins at 527, and Hubie at 494. Now, these are not the same.
Right?
Like, if you are...
They didn't all have the same roster.
Fratello and Jaeger took over teams that were successful.
Yep.
Right? Someone else had built them. Lionel and Hubie had built them. So Jaeger has a better winning percentage than Lionel, but Lionel took over a team that was crap.
Yep.
Hubie has a better winning percentage than, I mean, Fratello has a better winning percentage than Hubie. But Hubie took over a team that was crap. Jenkins took over a team that was crap, but he had Ja from the beginning.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
How are you going to rank him? If you had to rank him.
I'm in that category of Lionel, Hubie, Dave, Taylor.
I don't know how I distinguish. I go Lionel, one, just on the basis of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just like he's the one who took them to their greatest heights. Plus, until yesterday, he was the all-time winningest coach. So whether it's numbers, but also just in the end, he got him somewhere, right? He did something that no one else has done. So I got to go Lionel, one. Hubie, I think, did the most remarkable coaching job, right? Just sort of what he accomplished with what he had. Now, Lionel had to forge what he had. Like, Lionel didn't have it until he sort of, like, Zach had been around the league.
Yep.
And Mark was Fat Mark. And Mike was a guy who was mocked for dribbling too much. And so let's not overstate what he had. And Tony was a guy who the Celtics didn't care to keep.
Yep.
Didn't care enough to keep. So I don't want to overestimate what he had. But I think the roster, you look back, that's a better roster than what Hubie had. And so Hubie's, I think Hubie's accomplishments, well, here you go. Hubie won Coach of the Year, right?
Yep.
Hubie won Coach of the Year. Taylor's never won Coach of the Year. Jaeger never won Coach of the Year.
Taylor finished second, I think.
And so then with Taylor and Jaeger, I'm kind of putting them on the same. I don't know how you distinguish between them. I think they're both good coaches.
I mean, to me, in the end, like, it's not Taylor's fault, but like, in the end, the differentiators, I have more memorable playoff series for Jaeger.
Jaeger, again, 9-13 in the playoffs. Taylor, 9-14 in the playoffs. Very close.
Yeah.
Very similar. Do we have early results from the Jeff Calkins Show poll?
Jeff, let's see how many votes we have tallied so far. 42 votes early. Lionel Hollins leads the way with 50% of the vote. Hubie Brown with 38.1% of the vote, 11.9% for Taylor Jenkins. No votes cast for Dave Jaeger.
Does that surprise me? Well, I mean, here's the truth. You really can't make an argument that Dave Jaeger is the greatest coach. If the argument is greatest coach, there is literally no argument that Dave, whereas at least here's the argument for Taylor Jenkins. He's won more games than anybody else.
Yeah.
There is at least an argument for Taylor Jenkins, right? There is no argument for Dave Jaeger that he is the greatest. Now, there's an argument that Dave Jaeger is as good as Taylor Jenkins. But honestly, we're leaving Fratello out. And I think Fratello, very good coach, wasn't a particularly popular coach, wasn't a warm and fuzzy guy. But there you go. Anyway, it was interesting. And I would commend any of you to read Drew Hill's story over at the Daily Memphian on this, because he wrote a terrific story on Taylor Jenkins, went back and remembered his first win, among other things, which was really interesting. First win, Jay Crowder hit a game-winning three-pointer. Do you have any recollection of this? With little more than 4 seconds remaining in overtime, then rookie Ja Morant took a handoff from veteran wing Jay Crowder, raced up the floor, dished it back to Crowder for the game-winning three-pointer.
Yeah, this is isn't this the game also that he like stripped? Didn't he strip Kyrie?
That's, I think, right.
Yeah,
I do remember
this.
But anyway, it was October 27th, 2019, 1,850 days ago. Maybe it is during the regular season. Winningest coach in franchise history during the regular season. Maybe I had it all wrong. Is that 215 wins in the regular season? We'll get clarification on that. The
issue is Wikipedia shows 206-185. Basketball Reference shows both have 9-14. And according to Wikipedia, the reference or the reference is Basketball Reference.
Yeah. Okay. Some nice quotes from Desmond Bane here in this story. Again, he goes through the entire history. Some nights for some Desmond Bane, because this is what he says. He deserves it. He's the best coach I have ever played for and my favorite coach I have ever played for. That's not something, like, if you're asked about a coach who has a record, who gets a record, and you just want to say something nice, you can say, great coach, love him, really proud of him, whatever else, right? But to me, when you say the best coach I've ever played for and my favorite coach I've ever played for, that is the ring of absolute truth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that says something.
So the AP story from Clay says 215 wins, but it doesn't specify regular season.
That's right.
So I'm doing my best here.
We'll clarify later. Anyway, so that was good. That was fun. That was good to watch. And now onward to Chicago. Grizz win. The other story they wanted to highlight, we'll talk about the Tigers who play tonight. But the other story I wanted to highlight was, did you see that Cam Jones led Marquette over Purdue with a triple-double?
So I only followed on Twitter. I did not see a second of the game. But I did see the note on Twitter.
Yeah, so Cam Jones, a proud Memphian. And afterwards, he dedicated the win to Terry Tippett.
I was going to ask, did he play for Coach Tippett?
He played for, that's what I was trying to think. When exactly? Because it didn't even seem like, I couldn't have imagined when they would or have even overlapped, right? But he played for him his freshman year at ECS. And so he went out and he dedicated his massive game as they beat Purdue. To Coach Terry Tippett. And we do, by the way, also have news on the memorial service for Terry Tippett. Here's what it is. A ceremony honoring Coach Tippett will be held this Friday before the White Station home basketball game, 7 o'clock at Spartan Palace, 514 South Perkins, right there, of course, at White Station. No charge for admission. Former players, please arrive no later than 6:45. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, we got a big show today. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We have Right of the Right Trivia after that, where we'll be giving away a fabulous prize package, including 901 Wrestling and the Justin Timberlake concert. All you have to do is play honorably. And we got more to talk about, Tigers included.
I have confirmed it is from Ross Wooden's game notes. So this is the source.
This is the source.
215 regular season wins.
Regular season wins.
Correct.
So then the playoff wins.
Correct. Another 9. So that would be 224 total wins.
All right. If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is the place to go. And I can say that as someone who's gone to Leaders Credit Union. Claire and I opened up an account there. We went to the Bartlett location. They also have a new Arlington location where you can go there. But all you have to do is download the app on your phone. And this is whether if you want a car loan or a mortgage, or you're just, and this can happen. You get sick of fees in your bank. You get sick of being treated, you know, like dirt by your bank. You get sick of the fact that your bank has changed names 7 different times, whatever it is. And you're looking for a place that makes your priority. And at a credit union, Leaders Credit Union is a credit union, of course. There's no corporate overlords to, you know, it exists purely for the benefit of its members. There's no stockholders, that need to make money off of you. All the money goes poured right back into better services, better technology, better rates, all of that. Check them out at the very least. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL's rocking on. No better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Safe, secure, you get your money fast. And you can get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Tonight, we got an electric matchup, Jeffrey, between the Steelers and the Browns. You want a little extra juice on that one. Although, let's be honest, we've had some good Thursday matchups. We can't, like, be complaining now. Anyway, if you want to wager and win on your first $5 bet, you'll have $150 in bonus bets. You can, whatever, you bet on the weekend, bet them over the weekend. Build your same game parlay. You can pop over to FanDuel. They also have pre-assembled same game parlays that you can use or tweak, make them your own. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, is tonight's Memphis basketball game a must win? Play USF, San Francisco, at the Warriors.
Chase Center.
The Warriors facility.
I don't think anything's must win at this point in the calendar.
The answer is no. But how big is it? And I ask this, because here's the problem. So you got to be heartened by the start, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're heartened by the start.
Let's say curious.
I'm more than curious. I was curious to begin, and now that they've won, I'm a little more encouraged. How about encouraged?
Okay.
I'm encouraged. You're curious. I'm encouraged. I've graduated to encouraged. I'm not yet ebullient. But here's the thing. On this West Coast journey of theirs, they've got this game tonight against a USF team that's beaten Boise State. That's like the holy crap. Maybe they're pretty good. And that, you know, when you're looking around at the end of the year and you're looking at the bubble teams, you could be comparing resumes with San Francisco. Like, it's they're in your sort of range, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
It could very well be in your range. If you don't win tonight, you then go to Maui, and I'm not gonna doom them to a loss before that's incurred against UConn, but you got UConn first. Then, if you just go by the way things should go, depending on who advances, you've got Michigan State next. Okay? Then you have either Auburn, Iowa State, North Carolina, or Dayton. And at that point, if you've been losing, presuming
Auburn can make the flight.
That's true. Presuming Auburn. If you've been losing, and then you're going to presume that Dayton's been losing, you might be playing Dayton there, right?
Sure.
If you've been losing.
Yeah.
Maybe you beat Michigan State, in which case, who knows who you got, right? Or maybe you beat UConn, for that matter. But if you just literally look at what is expected based on rankings and lines, right, you would expect them to be 1-2 at Maui.
Probably. That'd be the likely.
So this is the game tonight that sort of, because you'd take 2-2, wouldn't you?
Jeff, are you saying swing game for the road trip?
I think it's a swing game for the road trip.
Okay.
Now, again, maybe they'll rampage through Maui. Maybe they'll take home the big prize, the big pineapple, whatever it is. But
that usually means something else.
It is funny. I had no idea. How many people out there know what a upside down pineapple means? Do you know what an upside down pineapple?
Yeah, it's your swinger.
Does everybody know that?
I don't know. The streets talk.
I only learned that is it any pineapple?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I had a pineapple.
I do know what the symbol means, and also on our new house, the doorknob.
But it wasn't
a pineapple.
But it's not an upside down pineapple.
I'm just wondering.
The doorknob, did you change it?
We've not gotten there yet. We're having other issues.
Are you going to change the pineapple?
I made a push to change it. My wife.
Do you like a pineapple? Just as a culinary treat?
Sure.
Pineapple's delicious.
I'm sure, you know, as you know, we all love it on pizza.
No, not on pizza. But I like, how do you like pineapple, bacon wrapped pineapple?
I mean, it's bacon.
What's the best form of pineapple?
I like it as like the slice, or you know, not whatever, like the cut.
Just cube. Like a chunk.
Like the cube.
Just a chunk.
Yeah,
it's chunk. Best in its pure form. It's one of those things that is best in its pure form. If you think about it, there's pineapple upside down cake, right? Maybe that's not that fashionable anymore, but in the 70s, it was big. Have you ever had it?
Yeah, I've had it.
You've had pineapple upside down cake. Okay, so there's pineapple upside down cake. There's pineapple pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There's pineapple wrapped in bacon. Can you think of any other pineapples? And then there's pineapple.
I mean, you can have like the slice of pineapple.
Yeah, but that's sliced chunk.
Yeah, it's
whatever.
The same.
Just pure eaten, you know. There's canned pineapple.
And there's pineapple juice.
There's pineapple juice.
Which isn't a bad summer mixer.
The best form of pineapple, and this isn't true of everything.
Is pina coladas?
I guess that's pineapple flavored. Is it pineapple juice?
I mean, that's what the pina is.
That's the pina in pine. Mm-hmm. That's put the pina pina in. That's the pina in pina colada. I still think the best form of pineapple is just freshly cut piece of pineapple. I did get a pineapple once when I was at Kroger, and I put it upside down
to see
if anyone looked at me differently. Mm-hmm. But to see, mind you, I only discovered this in the past 6 months. That this is what the upside down pineapple meant.
It was a big plot point in How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the? Do you?
It was the one of Ted's love interests was a divorcee, and there's a pineapple involved, implying that her ex-husband was a swinger, so therefore she may have been a swinger. So Ted had to wrestle with whether you want to.
So you think it's an important game, but not a must win. That's what I think.
Yeah. Because if you were to lose this and you went and you, let's say you had a 2-1 week next week.
No, you wouldn't. And if you lose this, you can still have a 2-2 week. You could even lose to UConn and then it's been like since 2018 or something that Michigan State had a first round draft pick. Google this. Michigan State.
Is it Jaren?
It might have been Jaren. Google, I was actually wondering if Michigan State's last first-round draft pick in hoops was Jaren Jackson Jr. Because they don't do it anymore. Like that, he is, you know, everyone's changed, but the elite programs still do want, you know, UConn has first-round draft picks last year. You know, you do want.
Jaren is the last first-round.
Is that incredible?
Yes. So Cassius Winston went 53rd overall. Xavier went 35th overall, and then Max Christie went 35th overall. They haven't had a draft pick since 2022.
That's the thing. It's just been incredible. There's a guy who does not want to adapt. You know, he doesn't. You know, you wonder how long he is for the. So anyway, the challenge tonight is that. It's funny. Do you believe that Memphis is the best 3-point shooting team in the country?
I do not.
No, I don't either. It's sort of amazing, though, that there they are. And so you look at the matchups and the who defends well, what they do well, et cetera. And USF is very good at defending the three. So if you have any skepticism about Memphis's current status as the number one 3-point shooting team in the country, and to be fair, I do, this will be a good test.
Yep.
If they are the number one 3-point shooting team in the country after tonight, I may start to be a believer.
Also, USF forces a lot of turnovers. Memphis.
Well, that's the other problem.
Yeah.
The real problem is that Memphis turns the ball over, particularly, though, in first halves.
Yeah.
And Parth was writing about this. And to me, that's just a matter of attentiveness. Like, if you are turning the ball more over in the first, consistently, turning it over more in the first half than the second half, it's because you're bearing down.
Yep.
It's because you come out
you're valuing the possessions in the second half.
We've seen this from Penny's teams. Like they don't always, they do have always had turnover problems, but like in the Kendrick Davis era, whatever, the second half of the season, even they got better because they're like, we got to stop this S.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
well, and Kendrick stopped turning it over.
Kendrick's did. So, but then the other challenge is USF is deep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the other thing. In terms of questions about this Memphis team, I guess one question can be, are they really this good 3-point shooting? But the answer to that, we already know, is we know no, right? One of the other questions is, can they, while we all applaud the fact that there is more continuity in their rotations, where it also comes with some concern over, okay, you got two guards, each with knee injuries, neither of whom have supposedly practiced, and you're going to play this compressed schedule, and now you're going to be playing a very deep USF team to start it off? How is that going to go? In other words, can they continue to win? Can they continue particularly to outplay teams in the second half when they are the thinner team?
They are the more experienced team.
They are the more experienced team.
Just not together, but.
Tyrone Riley IV is a true freshman who is their leading scorer.
Tyrone?
So there you go. Tyrone.
Yeah, I was just saying Ty Riley, like Tyrone.
Ty Riley, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, right, there you go. All right.
He's TR to you.
So that is tonight. Also tonight, we've got the Steelers and the Browns. Your thoughts?
So the line's a little bit low than what I suspected. I know it's obviously a division game, but it's right now it's around 3.5. I think some books out there had 3. To me, it's a question of what does the Browns injury report look like? Because if their injury report looks anything like it did on Sunday, I know the typical rule with Mike Tomlin is when he's an underdog, hammer him. When he's a favorite, fade him. I just don't know if they're going to have enough to match up with that front from the front right now from the Steelers, because they will get after you.
One of the interesting things with Russell Wilson is he's obviously been playing very well. It's been a fit.
Yeah.
There is still a problem in the red zone.
Yeah. That pick last week. Now, I'll defend Russell by saying Washington's got to make a play on the ball a little bit better, but that was did you see the reaction clip from Arthur Smith? Like, that's just an all-timer. Because he was just doing, like, it wasn't mean spirit. He was doing whatever. What are you doing?
And you do wonder. I mean, he uses Justin Fields. You know, that's that, and maybe there may be, you know, in the red zone, maybe more of that.
I like to think, Jeff, that's more of a package. You know.
Do you think it's funny when we started talking about this game? We were talking about it during the break, and you were sort of mocking it as a quote unquote electric game, meaning it's not an electric game.
Well, these are not teams that are all that interested in playing exciting football. The Steelers play good football, but it's not exciting football.
Do you think, well, first of all, how about this? If I were playing Believe It or Not today, I'd phrase it this way. College football has been better than the NFL this year.
I do believe that this year. I almost think
that this year. Yes.
I almost think they've weirdly kind of changed roles this year in the sense that what we're seeing right now in the NFL is what, 10 bad teams? You know, you and I have talked about this. There's a lot of teams that just kind of suck, and they suck to watch. And so what we're seeing is those bad teams, when they go up against a good team, they lose every time. It's become fairly predictable, which is what we used to see more so in college football. Whereas this year in college football, we've seen the thinning out of the elite team has probably come back a little bit to the pack, and the mid team has probably risen its game a little bit. And so I think that's made for better watches, more unpredictability.
I mean, it's still true that the advantage that college football has is there's just a lot more games. So you can have bad games, you flip the channel and there's another game, right? So, but it's unquestionably true. I don't think there's any doubt that the playoff has made this dramatically more interesting.
Particularly at this point in the calendar.
Like crazy more interesting, because all of a sudden Ole Miss, which would have been dead, is no longer dead. Like
playing
out the string, wondering which stupid bowl game you're going to go to. All of a sudden, and I mean, hell, Army is interesting, right? Like, you know, Army is interesting. BYU is interesting. Colorado is interesting. SMU is interesting. And none of these teams would have been interesting at any kind of a national level at all.
Tulane still kind of has a pulse.
Tulane is like, if you're a Tulane fan, imagine that if a Memphian, you were in the position that Tulane is in, you're like, we got this, man. We're going to roll over Memphis this week, and then we're going to crush it in the championship game, and Boise can lose.
Maybe someone will
trip Boise up. Like, you got something to be rooting for all over the place. People have now. It is also true that there have been great NFL games.
Yeah.
Starting with this past Sunday, which was the most watched, the Chiefs-Bills game, the most watched, 30 however many million did
30,
you see?
It was 30. It was like a playoff game.
It was crazy how many people watched that game. And then, you had the Ravens-Bengals game was unbelievably great. Where the first game of the season was under where the Chiefs win. There's been a lot of great games, but to your point, how many... I was going to guess, how many teams are there that are just, when you hear they are in the game in the NFL, you're like, I don't want to watch that.
All right.
Like, so let's just go through. Are you going to say the Jets and New England both qualify as just stinky teams that aren't worth watching?
With the one asterisk of New England with Drake May has been
more interesting.
A more interesting watch.
And you can argue that watching the Jets fall apart is itself interesting.
Yeah, but
no longer.
I can enjoy that without having to watch the game. You know what I mean?
Okay, those teams just... I think they both ruined
the
game.
Watches.
They're both bummer watches. They both ruined the game. You're right, Drake May has made it better. So far, we're 2-2. Half the teams in the AFC East can ruin a game. In the AFC North, just Cleveland?
Just Cleveland, but they're in the Drake May category. With Jameis, it's a better watch.
But still.
It's still not
at least Drake May, there's like, I could be watching the future.
Correct.
Whereas never feel like that. So we got three teams that are unwatchable.
Yep.
In the AFC South.
Two for sure.
Tennessee and Jackson, Jacksonville, totally unwatchable. And honestly, Indianapolis ain't any great
picnic. At least with Richardson, you could see anything.
Okay, well,
but with Flacco, it was an awful watch.
So we're up to five.
Yep.
In the AFC West, you got the Raiders.
Unwatchable.
That's it.
Yeah.
Six.
I don't love what the Broncos do, but they're an infinitely better watch than what we're talking about.
So actually, 10 watchable teams, 6 unwatchable teams.
Yep.
In the AFC. Okay, in the NFC, in the NFC East, Dallas and the Giants, totally unwatchable.
And you get to do it on Thanksgiving in a standalone game next week.
All unwatchable in one big turkey of a game. That is, now, again, Dallas can be like the Jets. You can enjoy their misery.
No, I'm telling you, go watch Monday night and tell
the
me
Cooper
that you,
Rush.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
It was
okay.
Awful.
So that's two.
So now we're up to eight.
The NFC North are all watchable.
I disagree. I think the Bears are unwatchable.
I think they're watchable just because I'm interested in what happens with Caleb. I was interested last week. Played a little better. He looked a little better.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I'm in the camp that I think Caleb's personality makes people want to rush to declare him a bust. And I am of the opinion, and there's no way to prove it one way or the other, but if you would have put Caleb with the Commanders and you would have put Jaden with the
That's
Bears.
That's what I'm saying. So I can watch. Time. I'm not putting the Bears in that category. So you'll have one more unwatchable, and I will. I have two in the NFC East. Yep. None in the NFC North. NFC South, very two. Clearly, Carolina and New Orleans are unwatchable.
Yep. And then no one in the NFC West.
Shockingly, you're right.
They all play entertaining games. So that's a third of the league.
So across the league, there's 10 unwatchable teams.
Yes.
That means there's 10 unwatchable games.
Yes.
And there's only how many games? 16.
So there's 16, but then you throw in byes and whatnot, and that's kind of been the other problem. It's like now we're in the middle of all the bye weeks, and then this week I think there's a lot more byes because of the Thanksgiving games. Like, you wind up having, I feel like on average, like 2 weeks ago when we got to that late slate, there was not one watchable football game. It was like the Eagles, Cowboys, the Lions were pummeling, I think the Packers, and then the Cardinals, Bears. Like, there were no watchable games.
It's so funny, though, that like people worried, and I do think that there's a problem in college football with the portal combined with the NIL. I don't think there's any doubt that it's a problem, right? But it's interesting because people wondered, like, however big a problem that is, it's overwhelmed by how much more interesting that it is now that there is a playoff. Like, if there may be a quote unquote crisis in college football, but it's also maybe the most interesting year in college football I can remember. It hadn't ruined it for me that I got Cam Ward playing in Miami.
I think it also depends on how did you consume the product. If we're talking about as a it's transitioning from a regional sport to a national sport, and that's what we're watching in real time. And so you're going to have less meaningful regional games, but in terms of big picture games, you're going to have more.
The other news, and you thought this was already official, but it seems to be now official, Around the Horn is going away.
Yeah, I think this is another example of one of the pet peeves that I have now. Stuff that we've learned gets repackaged as news again, and I don't know, maybe was there a press release today?
We had already learned it?
I remember.
Were you ever an avid Around the Horn watcher?
Yeah. I mean, when you'd come home from school, like when you had the power block of Around the Horn, PTI, like, yeah, that was...
Which was better?
PTI.
Dramatically better. Yeah, PTI dramatically
guy.
Better. Yeah. And PTI is still rolling along,
but it's
lost a lot of steam, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think that's largely because they're just not in the room at the same time anymore.
It's funny. I think it's partly because... And maybe I'm just conscious of this. I don't think there's locked in as they were.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe an element.
And I say
of it,
that
but
I say that because I'm not as locked in as I am.
But I think that goes hand in hand. Like,
but locked in with each other or locked into sports. You know,
I think they're not as locked in. Like, because
Tony Kornheiser used to be a sports columnist who would go to every game, and he, you know what I mean? Okay. We're going to take a break here in a moment. Jeffrey has to take a call. So Jay has to take a call off the air. So we are going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington on the other side. Then we're going to play Right or the Right Trivia, fabulous prize package, including two tickets to see Justin Timberlake this Saturday at FedEx Forum. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.